through 10 says this, and I like starting this with this verse. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Now, God says if you're not careful, you're going to get a way of thinking that will spoil you. And we get the word spoil by when they would go into send an army into a city, or if it was army against army, whoever won got the spoils of war. And that meant all the dead bodies you could go by, and you could grab the gold chains and all the ornaments off of them, and you could take them for yourself, and that was called somebody spoiled you. If somebody came through your town, they would cause a diversion sometime, and the people would leave the city over a big commotion, and they'd come in and spoil it. It means robbing. God says, if your way of thinking is not right, you will be spoiled. There are some things that the devil will rob from you if your thinking isn't right. If you're thinking on church, and that's what we're teaching on, but if your thinking is this, it's okay. We'll go if we haven't got anything else to do. If nothing else gets in the way, I'll be there. You can count on me. That philosophy or way of thinking will hurt you. It will rob you. The church gets along fine without everybody. The church was doing just fine before I ever got here. And I think everybody can say that. It's here. It was cooking along just super without me. The church is not any better for me coming here. I'm better for coming here. I heard some people say, well, I choose a church on where's the biggest and the smallest, and I go to the smallest one because they need me the most. You may want to look at why the church is big. Some show movies, some have drama clubs. And you may want to see, is the reason it's a big church, is it scriptural? Biggest church in the world right now is Dr. Isle's church. Biggest Sunday school. It's big for one reason. They teach the Bible there. They preach the Word of God there. They don't show movies. They don't do drama clubs. They don't pass out censuses and ask you what exactly you'd like. It's big for that reason. I'd want to go for that. I'm just saying, some people say, well, that little church needs me. Church doesn't need you. You're better for going to church. God's not any better for you coming. The church is for you. Your thinking has got to be right, or wherever it's off, unscriptural, wherever the Bible is not in your thinking, in whatever area, that's the area that's open for destruction. That's the area that won't hold. Okay, let's move on here. When only 1% of America is in church on a Sunday night, our philosophy on church is wrong. That's the census. That's what people turned in. How many of you go to church on Sunday night? 1% of America, and the French guy they came over here and wanted to see how come our revolution succeeded and the French Revolution failed. He said, I looked for it, and he said, I found the reason. America is great because America is good. And when America ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great. Why was she good? Because of church. She said the secret to America's success was found in the pulpits and the pews of her churches. And when church stops to be important to America, then America will cease to be a great nation. And who was it? Who was the FBI inspector? I can't even remember, but he said the secret to curing the electric chair is the high chair. If you'll raise them up, okay? All right? You'll raise them up from that. In other words, the problem in America is this philosophy on church. And I'm going to battle something here at the start of it. And I kind of want you with me for a minute. But watch this. Let's lay some groundwork here. The word church, first of all, the definition means a called out assembly. If you define it any other way, you're going to get into a mess. A called out assembly. That means the people that are assembled here were somewhere else. They got called out from where they were, and now they're assembling. If you have any other definition for a church than that, you have a wrong definition. Okay? That's what the word ecclesia means, all right? In other words, here we go. If you come over to my house, that's not church. They had churches in houses, okay? But if just you know, that were, and they always use the verse, you know, Matthew 18 there, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That verse is not context on church. That verse is context on prayer. When you get together and pray, it's not, oh, good, you're a Christian, good. Now we're together, now Jesus is in our midst. Now we're having church. That is, In Italy, they call that Bologna. Okay? Okay? All right? They call that baloney. All right? That context is not, if you come to my house, you're called out. You left where you were and came to my place, but I still haven't left yet. Do you understand? Okay, let's watch here. There are two systems in the Bible, and two only: the world and the church. That's it. You are either in the world or you're in church. One of two. You're not in both. Now, if I can just help you with that, there's only two systems in the Bible. All right, and I think this helps people, because when you're at your house, you're at your house. You're not at church. And I'm for the home. The home's first institution in the Bible. Home's before the church. Okay? I'm just saying, you're only two places. When you're at your home, you're in the world. When you're at your job place, you're in the world. When you go shopping, you're in the world. When you come to church, you're in church. There's only two. You're in one or the other. Now, laying that, understanding that, watch this. There are things in the Bible called, a church is a called out assembly of people from the world who have been saved and baptized. There's a couple of words for assemblies in the Bible. The first one is, here we go. If you were looking at it, we're going to move to the right here. The first one is a synagogue. Synagogue is an assembly of people with nothing in common. A synagogue is a mall. They're assembled down there under one roof, but they're all there for different reasons. They're all there to get something different. That's a synagogue. A synagogue is an assembly where nobody has anything in common, but they're there, other than they're present. But their mental purpose for being there is different. That's a synagogue. There's another word in the Bible for an assembly. That is church. A church is an assembly where everybody has the same purpose. Watch this. A lawyer convention is a church, by definition. They're together, and they're there for one reason. For one reason. They are assembled. They've left where they were. They've assembled now all together for one purpose. A doctor convention. I can go on and on. But when you're assembled for, and everybody has one thing in common, that's a church, by definition. Okay? But I'm not just interested in a church. I have a synagogue here. Then I have church. Now, what I want is a New Testament church. A New Testament church is where the Bible, okay, now not only does everybody have one thing in common, but the thing we have common is our belief in this book. That is a New Testament church. I don't want just a church. I want a New Testament church is what I want, okay? So if I'm not careful, if I make the reason I gather wrong, I will only have a church and not a New Testament church. There are a lot of churches in town. Okay? All right? Now, this is not a backdoor slap in the face type thing. Okay? However, I'm just letting you know there's a lot of churches in town. There's not very many New Testament churches in town. Okay? There's not very many New Testament churches in town. Let's keep on going here. Now, it's amazing to me as far as being in the South, and people, as I go door to door, always have this question. Is going to church a command? And they call this the Bible Belt. You know what I mean? This is supposed to be the Bible Belt. This is supposed to be, you know, where, you know, what is it? Down there in Decatur, Alabama, had the world Guinness Book of World Records for having the most churches per square inch. Okay? I'm not kidding you. There's more churches in that town than I think, they said, per capita than any other place in the country. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records, okay? But as far as being here in the South, and we're supposed to be here in the Bible Belt, and then I go door to door and I hear people say, was going to church in the Bible? Look at this. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us consider one another to provide unto love and good work, to provoke unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Wow. God says we're not supposed to forsake or avoid or push away or minimize the assembling or the churching of ourselves together as Christians. We're not supposed to do that. God says do not do that. Do not take away from the importance of church. We're supposed to provoke each other into love and good works. You can provoke somebody to anger by throwing stones at them before they get mad enough. Okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know what church is supposed to do? We're supposed to be provoking one another to do what? Love and good works. Love and good works. Rather than ticking each other off, we're supposed to be encouraging each other. Hey, keep on going for the Lord. Provoking one another and pushing one another. And come on, we can do it. Come on, let's do it for Jesus. Keep on going for God, okay? God says that's what church is for, and do not forsake it. That tells me if I forsake it, I'm disobeying God. That is a disobedience. That is a sin that Jesus died for, like murder, rape, robbery. You can name it, okay? But if I forsake it, that's sin. That's sin. Okay, here we go. Let's keep on. Watch here. There is no such thing as an invisible church. The word church means a local assembly of believers. If you listen to BBN, okay, if you listen to Trinity Broadcasting Network, if you listen to, I can go on and on. Okay, if you watch a lot of that and if you listen to a lot of it, you know what they're going to say? Okay, in just a little bit, we're going to have a lesson on tithing here in a couple of weeks. John MacArthur is wrong. I listened to him. I heard him the other day. I almost wrecked my car. I got so mad. Okay? All right? But when he says tithing, you don't have to tithe 10%. And then he starts talking about, I'm sitting here going, and I forget to shift my car, and we're into, 8,000 RPM, and on it goes. And I'm sitting here going, I don't believe this. This is going all across the nation. Watch this. When Billy Graham says, go to the church of your choice. Go to the church of your choice. I had to battle Billy Grahamism when I went soul winning 2 weeks ago. You know what the guy came to the door? I said, 13-year-old girl and a 13-year-old girl. And I said, would you like to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? The guy opens up the door and he says, I listen to Billy Graham on TV. And Billy Graham says, you can't know that. He says, John Hagee also. He said, I listen to both those guys on prophecy, all that stuff. He says, they both of them say you can't know. And I want to say, well, they're full of prunes and other fruit, okay? Dried up, evaporated, whatever, or fully, I don't care, they're full of prunes. The Bible teaches differently. They can go jump off a lake for all I care, okay? When you listen to a lot of TV, radio, quote, teaching, they're going to teach you that there's an invisible church. And if you're saved, then we're all just a member of church. And you just stay tuned in. Or you don't touch that dial. We're going to have church in your house. Okay? I got a couple of problems with that. Okay? But one, you didn't have to go anywhere to assemble. They are. They're showing you the picture of their crowd, and all that. But you didn't have to go anywhere. They're having church. You're not. You're tuning in to someone teaching the Bible, but you're not having church. There's a difference there. And there's a teaching nowadays as far as invisible church. I went to invite a man to church one time. It was when we were in Missouri. Nice guy. And I'm talking nice, polite. Yes, ma'am. My wife liked to go to this gas station more than any other one. She said, that guy is just so nice. She said, have you ever invited him to church? This is like our third time and stuff like this. And so I take a track up there and I said, here. I said, I'm from this church up here and I'd like to invite you. Could you come? He said, son. He said, he was on fire for God. He said, I live in church. Now watch this. His philosophy on church was wrong. He said, I don't need to go anywhere. I live in church. Everything is the church. You know what? He's been programmed by somebody, and it wasn't this book, because he didn't find any of that in here. Let's keep on going here. Watch this. Look at Acts 5, 11 to 14. It says, great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things, okay? Ananias and Sapphira just lied to God. They just got knocked dead, okay? And verse 12 says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Watch this. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Stop before we read the next verse. Nobody was joining this church at this time. Two people just died. The city just figured out, whoa, they don't play church down there. God's in it for keeps down there. Nobody was joining themselves to the church. Does everybody see that? Everybody was scared to death. But they said, those people mean business for God. Now watch the next verse. It says, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. I have argued a lot in my office. I've had people confront me on this, on the invisible church, and how dare I teach against it, okay? Here, the Bible says, you can be saved without joining the church. You can be added to the Lord. People can be saved daily, okay? People can be saved daily and the church membership not grow. People are saved out there that don't ever come to church. Being saved and coming to church are two different things. If you listen, here we go. If you listen to a lot of radio and TV stuff, they're going to teach you we're all in church. We're all just one big happy family. You know why? Because they want your support. They want your support. They want your support. Talk to a missionary representing an invisible church. They want visible money. Okay? They want visible money. Okay? But now we don't talk about invisible money, okay? Let's keep on going here. So here in the Bible, God teaches you, say, what's the main purpose of those verses? The main purpose of those is you can be joined to the Lord, you can be added to the Lord, and still not be a member of the church. That is two different things. Let's keep on going here. Just because one is saved does not necessarily mean that they are added to the church. You do not become a member of the church when you get saved. All right? A couple of other things there. The local called out assembly of believers. Roman numeral number 2 there. Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay? People were getting saved, and then guess what? They were getting baptized and becoming member of the church. That's it. The Lord was doing it. God was doing a work in the heart. It does not mean the moment you get saved, you were added to the church. It means God was adding them to the church. Let's keep on going here. 114 times the references to the local called out assembly of believers in the Bible. And then I give you just a hair of the references as far as when the Bible mentions church. Can I clue you in on something? Anytime you read church in the Bible, it's not talking about, I hear every once in a while, I hear somebody say, the church of Jesus Christ needs today a revival. And they're talking about a whole bunch of... Did you know God never refers to all the churches as the church? Nowhere. Nowhere. God never says... God never refers to all the churches as my church. The church. God refers to the churches, plural, the churches... But God, you know, I hear some preachers say, you know, what we need in fundamentalism today. And they're talking about it as far as a group, as far as across the movement. But you know what we need in Lighthouse Baptist Church? You know what we need in this? Because none of the other churches are present. Okay? I like hearing, I want the preaching for me. Okay? They may need something else, but I'm here. Okay, I want to know as far as the reference is to the local New Testament church. The doctrine, here we go, letter number L there, the doctrine of the invisible church relieves duty and responsibility. That means you can watch it on TV, you can listen to it on the radio, and guess what? I asked one guy, this is what we live in, okay? This is the society we live in. I said, where do you go to church at? He said, I attend TV. He literally said that, and watch this, he was as sincere as the day is long. He said, I attend TV. He said, I watch church service after church service from 8 in the morning until 12 on Sunday every day. I said, you don't have a church you go to? He said, no, I attend TV. Okay? That is the society we live in. Okay? That's because of, and it relieves duty. Good. You can get up, you know, there's no sacrifice there. You get in, you go into the living room, you plop down on the couch, turn it on, and hopefully sometime between the last program's over, you woke up, okay? And you can get with it. Here we go. The doctrine of the invisible church salves the conscience of the one who listens to the TV and radio on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night instead of going to church. It's a conscience salve, okay? Listen, the reason I don't believe in an invisible church, if you attend TV, when you die, that preacher that you listen to on the TV, he ain't coming to your funeral. And he ain't visiting you in the hospital when you're sick. Okay? And honestly, he could give a flying leap about you if you just send him a letter. You know what they want in the letter? A check. Okay? But if you're out of state, okay? Nice. Good to have you. You helped my ratings. Okay? But beyond that, that's why it doesn't work, okay? And as far as, here we go. What they do, what did they do before they had TV? Here we go. Number 3. Every local New Testament Baptist church is a body of Christ. Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Okay, talking about his, the church. Colossians 1:18 says, He is the head of the body, the church. This church is a body of Christ. A body. This church is self-functioning. Just like my body has everything it needs to attack disease when it's okay, when it's healthy. It has everything it needs to assimilate food. It has everything it needs to take care of itself. I am self-running. I don't need to be attached to anybody. Okay? This church is a body of Christ. I can point to, as far as churches, and we'll get into recommendations here in just a second, but they are bodies of Christ where Jesus is the head. Jesus is running the show. Okay? Let's keep on going here. Now, I'll give you some more verses there, but we got to keep flying here. A church now, do you see the word where it says family or church? They're not the same thing. When you got saved, you became a member of God's family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed by His Spirit, cleansed by His blood. He's talking about when you got saved. You became, God became your Father. You became brothers and sisters with everybody that's saved. That's being a family member. But you're still not in church yet. You're not in church until you went to church. But you're always a part of God's family when you get saved. And people nowadays are combining family and church. And they're saying it's all the same thing. It is not the same thing. Okay, I'm never going to hell when I die. But I'm only obedient as I come to church. Okay, let's keep on going here. Let's keep on going. If I want now, a true New Testament church has got to meet some qualifications. And it does not have to be Greg Nash's qualifications. Okay? It does not have to be, they don't need my stamp of approval, but watch this. To be a, remember, we've covered synagogue, church, but I don't just want a church. I want a New Testament church. I want a Bible church. So what is the only place I'm going to be able to look at to say what is God's stamp of approval on that church? Is it right or wrong? The Bible. So there's got to be some Bible qualifications on a true New Testament church. Let's look at letter A. The first thing it needs to be is it needs to be a soul-winning church. Revelation 1, and I know you can look these verses up here, but just kind of follow along with me just for time's sake. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Revelation 1:20 says this, The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels, or the messengers, or the pastors of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are seven churches. Okay? It says Revelation 2:1. Watch this. Unto the angel, or the pastor of the church in Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So God says, I'm walking in the midst of the churches, not church. But God says, I'm walking in the midst, and the man that I have in my right hand is the pastor of that church. All right? Everybody see that? I'm not getting off too funky here. All right? Here we go. Watch this. Revelation 2:5, God says here, Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Jesus says to that pastor, you had better do the first works or I'm going to remove your charter. You know what a franchise is, right? As far as you buy into it, you operate a KFC, you want to cook chicken their way, you want the red, white sign on it, then you got to follow their instructions. And this is America. You can cook chicken any way you want. You can boil it. You can fry it. Okay. Boiled chicken. Okay. All right. You can cook chicken any way you want. But if you want that KFC sign on there, you got to do it KFC's way. When I cook for KFC, I remember. I mean, I remember the procedure and all that other stuff. You can do this and do this and do this and drain the oil and all this and then put it under 450 degrees. On it goes. Okay. So long. And it had to be in there. If they caught you doing it a different way, guess what they did? They say, guess what? You can cook chicken. You got the store, but we're taking the sign in our buckets. Do you know what Jesus says? You can have any church you want. But if you want a New Testament church, you either do it my way or I'll take your franchise. And you will no longer be a New Testament church. You'll be a church. And I'll take your candlestick from you. He said, unless you return to the first works, and that's the theme of Revelation 2 there, as far as he said, I want you to go back to the first works. Haven't got a time to do the Bible study on it, but the first thing you do, first thing, go home, tell thy friends. It's soul winning. And there's illustration. Peter first findeth his brother. On and on it goes. He first did this. The first works is soul winning. God tells the pastor that he holds in his right hand. That's why I like calling the pastor God's right hand man. God tells the pastor, he said, you get that church soul winning. He said, or I'm going to come to the church and I'm going to remove your charter and you will no longer be a New Testament church in my eyes. I think that's plain from the Bible as far as, but what do I need if I'm going to find a true church? What do I need? First needs to be soul winning. Needs to be soul winning. Next thing it needs to be, here we go, it needs to be a King James Bible church, okay? And as far as being able to have an authority there, the Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Okay? The reason, the only problem I find that pastors who do not like the King James Bible only stand is this. That means if we all believe that there's one book, like what preacher preached this morning, the King James Bible, okay? Then guess what? He doesn't mind being held in check to this book. That means you can call his card. That means, guess what? You can take this book home, read it, and keep him in check. And every pastor I know that has a problem with this, it's an authority problem. Because they don't like the church members being able to say, preacher, is that scriptural? The way we're doing things around here? Is that the way it's supposed to be done?
Well, you see, in the other versions, it says this. And in the Greek, it says this. And, of course, you don't know Greek. And so, of course, you need me to explain that to you. So, you understand you haven't got the education I have. So, we're going to do things.
It's an authority problem. It's not. And that's why the pastors, everyone that I talk with, that have a problem with a King James Bible, it's normally an authority problem, because now all of a sudden the whole church can keep that man in check. And they can say, preacher, you tell us to read our Bibles too. Is what we're doing right? Is this right? Is that scriptural? Okay. Preacher likes that. Preacher loves Bible questions. Preacher, is it in the Bible why we do this? And is it in the Bible why we do this? He loves that. He loves that. You want to let him know? You're reading your Bible. You're concerned about things being right. Okay? Watch this. Here we go. So, I think that's kind of self-explanatory there. And the foundation, obviously, has got to be, for truth, has got to be the Word of God. So, it needs to be a soul-winning church. It needs to be a King James Bible church. Here we go. And it needs to be a Baptist church. Okay? Okay? Matthew 3:1 says here. Here we go. Ready? That's this. It says, in those days came John the Unitarian. Okay, I'm sorry. In those days came John the Methodist. Okay, I'm sorry. I misread it. In those days came John the non-denominationalist. It ain't in there. Now, watch this, okay? Watch this. Now, Baptist Brider says to go to heaven, you got to be a Baptist. That is not what this is teaching. I'm looking for the qualifications of a church on how the man of God is running it so I can say, I want to go to a true church. Because I don't want to just go to a church, and I definitely don't, I'm not interested in going to a synagogue. I want a New Testament church. So, are they going soul winning? Do they have the right Bible? Thirdly, is it a Baptist church? Did I say every Baptist church is a good church? No, there's some churches, that's all they are. It's Baptist in name only. Okay, and we can go from there. So just because it's a Baptist church doesn't mean it's a good church. Baptist is one of the qualifications. And watch this. For people who say, I don't get hung up in denominational names, denominational names tell you where they stand. You know what non-denominationalist says? I don't stand anywhere. My lost boss, millionaire, that I welded for 4 years, 4.5 years, said, if I ever do go to church, I'm going to yours because I know yours is a Baptist. He said, and his secretary was non-denominational. She was, always floating everywhere, all over the place, and, on it goes. He said, I'll never go to your church. He said, I don't even know what y'all believe. He said, if I ever do, this is a lost man talking. I at least know if I go to a Baptist church what I'm getting into. Okay? You would have titled me, I'm just a Christian. I'm not. Listen, Baptist is in the Bible. I can understand if somebody's trying to get you to claim a title that as far as, but Baptist is in the Bible. And watch this. John was his first name, but the was not his middle name, and Baptist was not his last name. The Baptist is a title given to him by God. More than once. Okay? Does everybody understand? In other words, it's a title that God puts in the Bible on the preacher. Okay? Now, watch this. Here we go. It needs to be a Baptist church. Okay? If you're baptized by a Lutheran, that makes you a Lutheran. If you're baptized by a Methodist, that makes you a Methodist. Who baptized Jesus? John the Baptist. So what type of a preacher was Jesus? A Baptist. Okay? Who baptized Jesus' disciples? John the Baptist. So what kind of churches did the disciples start? Baptist. Okay. All right. Now, this goes back, watch this, to the River Jordan. Okay? I read an article as far as out of the Tennessee and as far as criticizing the history of church, and they just knew they were going to lay it out. It said the Baptist church started in approximately the 16th century, and it goes, wait a second, if I read my Bible right, it was done in 90 A.D. Baptist goes back further than that, okay? I'm just trying to let you know there's some Bible behind it, okay? Watch this. Before we belabor the point, it needs to be, first of all, a soul-winning church. It needs to be a King James Bible church, and it needs to be a Baptist church. Okay, it needs to be a Baptist church. Now, finally, watch this. It needs to be an autonomous church. Are you ready? Revelation 2:6 says that, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Revelation 2:15 says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now, this thing called Nicolaity, God hates. He says it twice. Nico, and I broke it down for you, the word Nico means to rule, lady means the people. The word Nicolaitan deals with an outside force controlling the church. God says, that is my body, I'm the head of it, nobody on the outside needs to be telling it how to run. That's unscriptural. Does everybody understand? God says, I hate that. Okay, you do something God hates too much, okay, and you get the candlestick removed. Okay? You say, what is this dealing with? Are you ready for this? An autonomous church is separate from convention churches. That's why we're not Southern Baptist. And people can say what they want, but you go to any Southern Baptist church you want, and if that preacher starts preaching too hot, they can call in two representatives and they say, you change your message or we're shutting you down. We'll get you out of here. We started this church and we were here before you and we'll tell you how to preach. They've done that on more than one occasion. Why? Because that is an outside force controlling the church. That is the deeds of the Nicolaitans. God says, I hate that. How come? I was raised American Baptist. American Baptist, same thing. The American Baptist Convention. You do things the way we say. If enough tithes don't come in, then guess what we're going to do as a convention? We're going to give you the money to supplement it. To pay back for that, you support us. We get so much. We get so much of whatever comes in. And then if you ever get in a bind and the church ever gets in a bind, we'll give you money back. No faith in God. All right? When they want to do a building program, the convention decides whether they can afford it or not. And then they give them the money. Do you know how many times pastors have been offered that from conventions? They said, you join us and we'll pay for your church. That was when he first started. I'm just letting you know, to be a church, it can be soul winning, King James Bible, and Baptist, but if it's not autonomous, it still doesn't meet the four requirements. I know some, watch this. Did I say Southern Baptist people are bad? No. I know some very sweet Southern Baptists. I'm saying the hierarchy and the system of it that controls the church is wicked and God says he hates it. It's unscriptural. I can't get any lighter than that, okay? And I'm trying to be warm and fuzzy, and I can't right now, okay? All right? I want to be, but I can't, okay? It has got to meet some requirements, or all you have is a church. You do not have a New Testament church. All right? Now, you say, why is that so important? Because watch this, Matthew 16:18, okay, and we've just got just a couple minutes left. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The word gates there, Jesus said, you're Peter, little pebble, little rock. He said, but upon this rock, this Petros, this foundation stone, me, I'm going to build my church. First of all, whose job is it to build the church? Jesus. He said, I'm going to build my church, not you. You represent me. Okay? Second of all, he said, if you got a New Testament church, not just a church, but you got a New Testament church, then what you have is protection. It says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I go through this all the time when I teach this, but watch this. Until just a couple years ago when somebody showed me this, I always thought the gates, you know, double opening up there, and the gates of hell. What does it look like? You know, gothic iron and smoke and fire coming out, and, you know, imps and demons all around the front entrance there. Okay, God said here, until somebody showed me this, I always pictured it was gates trying to attack you. You know what I mean? And okay, if you don't know what I'm getting ready to tell you, that's what else are you going to draw in your mind? Watch this. In the Bible, an authority, a walled city, had a gate. The authorities of that city sat at the gate. Boaz sat in the gate. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was a governor. Okay? And why would you do that? Because you wanted to know what was coming in out of your city. Hi, my name is so-and-so. You were doing all this PR work. What have you got to sell for our people today? The authorities sat in the gate. You know what Jesus said? The gates of hell are the authorities of hell. The demons and imps and satanic powers of hell cannot prevail against you if you're in church. That does not mean when you're living in church. That means when your life is centered around the church, that is God's protection for you. I don't know how else to say it. That's why the title of this lesson is called The Church, God's Protection for the Christian. God never intended for a saved Christian to live outside a church. And when a Christian says, watch this, I'll show them I'm not going to go to church. You know what they're doing? They're cutting their throat spiritually. God's just as holy without you or with you. But what you do not see is when you say, I'm not going to church, you lose the protection. Satan hates your innards. Satan can't stand you since you got saved. He knows he can't take you to hell now. So guess what he's going to try to do? He's going to try to make your life a living hell until you get to heaven one day. Guess what? Your only protection against that is this thing called the local New Testament fundamental King James Bible soul-winning Baptist church. When it's a priority with you and it's important, do you know what you just did? You don't see it, though. All you see is, you know, you got to struggle for a parking spot, and, you know, it can sometimes get hot in here, and it's tight, and it's hard to get back to your seat during a handshake. That's what you see, but you don't see the protection God gives you spiritually because you decided to make church an important part of your life. That's why I tell Christians, don't go to church for me. Go to church for you. Your family needs it. And there are things that you don't see at any rate. Here we go. Why is the church so important? 1 Timothy 3:15 says, if I tarry long that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Watch this, the pillar and ground of the truth. And I put this down in your notes. Every Christian I've ever known that does not stay in church always gets wrapped up in false beliefs. It does not mean they get unsaved. It just means they get wrapped up in wacko doctrine. There's a lot of junk out there. What is the pillar and the foundation of the truth? The church. You stay in church, do you know what that helps you with? Your doctrinal beliefs. You've got to have a place as far as, listen, a man of God that loves you and prays for you and teaches you as far as this is what's right. There's error out there. Mid-tribulation. We can go on and on. As far as mid-trib and all this, as far as errors out there, I know a lot of Christians. Oh, I have church in my house. I read the Bible in my house. And I pray in my house. Great, I'm glad you do. But they're whacked out. They're whacked out doctrinally. And they're visiting everybody because, you know, everybody's just one big happy family. They're going to the Benny Hinn thing. Then they're going to, I can go on and on. And they got all types of doctrine. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth, and every Christian I've ever known that does not stay in church gets whacked out doctrinally. They end up with some British Israelite theory and all this other garbage, okay? It's easy to get wrapped up in cults. Watch this, Haggai 1:1-11. Going to read you a couple verses, and we're flying here. I got just a couple minutes. In the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Watch this. Ye eat, but have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Church, I have used these verses more than many as far as to say this. Listen, you as a family, you need church. Because you know what's going to happen if you stay out of church? You're going to do this. Financially, you're going to go in circles. I am trying to get ahead. I am trying to make things work. We're doing everything. We're doing everything ethically right, and we're going in circles. Do you know why? Because church is very important. God puts a high... Now watch this. There's a lot in the Bible on this one issue called, how important is church to you as a Christian? How important is it to you? Watch this. I'm going to cover one more thing with you. Okay? 2 Chronicles 27, 1-2 says this. Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord, and the people did yet corruptly. Watch this. Jotham said he did right in the sight of the Lord, but he never went to church, and those who looked to him for leadership did corruptly. Did you know that everybody in here is a leader, and everybody in here is a teacher? Did you know that everybody in here has somebody watching you? And if you were strong enough to be able to stay out of church, did you know those that watch you aren't? I'm trying to get my kids to do right. You've got to get in church. You've got to get in church. I'm going to go. Ready? Watch this. Psalm 73, 1-28. It says, As truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Watch this. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he said, I saw what the drug dealers had. I saw what those who don't go to church have. And I started wanting it. He said, I was envious at the foolish. And I wanted what the wicked have. God is ripping me off. Watch what he says here. He says, For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. They don't have the problems I have. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. I'm going to church. I'm trying to do right. I'm watching them. They don't go. They haven't got near the problems that I've got that you see. You don't see how they sleep. But here we go. God is ripping me off. Here I am. I'm trying to do right. Trying to keep my family in church. I'm working. I am working at this thing trying to make it work. And they don't have neither. God, what is the deal? And I start wanting what they have. Watch this. Verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither as waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Then watch what he says. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Me going to church, reading my Bible, praying, it has been for absolutely nothing. And that's what he's saying here. God has ripped me off. It has not paid off. And then watch what he says. He says, For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Then look at this. He says, verse 17, Until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Verse 17 is the turning point for the whole chapter. He said, I thought God was ripping me off, and I got upset, and I wanted what the wicked have, and I thought all this is for nothing, until I went to church, the sanctuary of God. Then I started seeing, wow, it doesn't pay to live that type of a life. You know what's going to happen, Christian? If you get out of church, you're going to get discouraged. That's what this teaches. I can't think of a better theme of that whole chapter right there. Verse 17 is the turning point of it. You've got to stay in church for you. God's going to keep right on going. And the church was doing fine before I ever got here. But you've got to have church. I mean, I beg of you, you've got to have church. It's vital. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness. Please strengthen thy people under the sound of my voice. I pray, please, Lord, make them stronger for you. Help them see the importance of this thing called church. It's not optional equipment. It's very needed, very important. Please bless our preacher tonight as he preaches to us. Bless the service to follow, please. In Jesus' name, amen.